This is my buddy Jacob, and I want you to say hello to Jacob this morning. So this is an old youth pastor, okay? This guy's leaning toward becoming one. He's right now at Concordia University. He'll be telling you about that. He's finishing up his college work as we speak. Jacob's been our youth coordinator for the last year. So we've been doing something at the church called Youth Month, right? You guys have all been a part of that. Pastor Frank, this guy over here, I worked with youth for 18 years as I became a young believer in Jesus, and I began just volunteering and working. Always just had a heart for the next generation. I did. My heart for the next generation is in many ways grown even more as I've gotten older. As I look at what our next generation, how amazing these young people are, right? As amazing as these young people are. And the challenges they have, people, for them to walk as disciples of Jesus in their generation is going to be amazing, and the challenges are off the charts. And so we've been having a Youth Month here, and we've been just loving having them being a part of the big church and speaking into their lives and just letting them know that they feel that they're valued and cherished, they're important, they're special. So as we were doing this, I looked over at Jacob and said, hey, Jacob, at the end of this thing, would you like want to teach? And he goes, well, let me think about it. And then he says, you know what, I feel I would love to teach. So Jacob today is going to deliver his first sermon that he's ever given. As Pastor Graham says, we all got to start somewhere, right? And this is his day today. So, Father, we thank you for our brother Jacob. We thank you for the young man that he is, and to me, he's a young man. We thank you, Lord, for his journey. We thank you, God, for the man that you've made him to be today, the man that you're creating him to be. We commit to you his past, his present, and, Lord, his future, whatever you call him, as you're leading him in his own calling in this life, in the days in which we live. We pray a special blessing on Jacob today as he brings the word of the living God to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all those who love Jesus would say, okay, now let's say, go get him, Jacob.
Okay. All right. Good morning, Woodbridge family. How are we doing? Hey, I'm glad the coffee kicked in. That's great. As previously mentioned, my name is Jacob. I am the youth coordinator for our youth ministry. Just want to give a quick shout out to my youth. They've just been so awesome to me. They just do awesome things. And church, this is the next generation. This is the generation that's really going to make an impact in our world for Jesus. So I just hope that throughout this series we've been doing called Youth Month, that they just feel seen, they feel special, they feel known, and they've just been doing amazing things. Also want to give a quick shout out to my team. They've just been also just so helpful to me and such a blessing. They take their Friday nights off just to serve the youth, and Sunday mornings too, actually. And so for my team out there, thank you. I love you. And it's just been great. It's just been awesome. If you'll stand with me as we read from the Word of God, and it comes out of the Gospel of John, first chapter, verse 9. And it reads like this. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You may be seated. Let me begin by asking this question. Has anyone ever said anything mean to you before? You know how that felt like when they said it and how you responded? You know, plenty of times in my life, there's a lot of mean people who said a lot of mean things about me, but one memory comes to mind. So before I transitioned as the youth coordinator, I was actually a retail store worker for about a year. And I remember when I was first working there in the first couple of weeks, I was really anxious about where everything in the store was, how the systems worked, and establishing new relationships with my coworkers. And let's just say my performance was not top-notch performance. It was really low. I wasn't really getting things done quickly. And my boss, my new manager, quickly caught on. And she didn't appreciate it. I remember one night she pulled me aside towards the end of my shift, and she just had a stern face. And you know when your boss has a stern face, that usually means that something good or something bad is about to happen. So she, with a stern face, she just let me have it. She was grilling me. She was telling me I was not keeping up with sales. I was not doing my job properly. But then she said this. She told me, you know, we don't hire people who can't do their jobs. And that's who you are right now. You know how when someone says a mean comment, that comment keeps replaying in your head over and over and over again, right? And you either feel angry that they would say such a thing or you feel crummy after. Well, I was the type of person that felt crummy after. And I did walk away feeling down on myself. And I remember later that night, I told my dad about this event, and he was trying his best to encourage me, not let that get to me. And one of the things that my dad told me was, he said, Jacob, there's going to be a lot of people in your life who are going to put labels on you. But when that happens, I want you to remember that I'm your dad, you're my son, and I love you. How many times throughout our lives have people put some kind of label on us? Maybe it was a label based off of your performance at work, or maybe it was a label that was placed on you when it came to your grades. Maybe it was a label that people have placed on you, whether you were a good mom or a good dad, or you were being the best son or the best daughter. You see, out of those false labels that people place on us, we can begin to miss out on God's best for us. Because ultimately, what does God want us to have but a life filled with love and confidence and hope? You see, one of the reasons why I'm passionate about the next generation is because I know there's a lot of voices in their world today that are trying to put all of these labels on them. They're trying to tell them who they are when they're really not that. And they're trying to push them away from their unshakable identity in Christ. But I want my students, I want our youth to be set free in Jesus. I want them to not listen to those labels that people have placed on them, but I want them to be firmly rooted in their identity in God's unconditional love and grace for them. And that's why I'm passionate about them. Perhaps you're a person here this morning and you've had a lot of people put a lot of labels on you throughout your life. Maybe in your home, your parents told you that you were just not good enough or you're an inconvenience to them. Maybe you came out of a relationship where a man or a woman just told you, you know, you're just too hard to love. You're just too sensitive. Or maybe you had a coworker say to you recently that you're just too dumb for your job. You're just not performing at your best. But regardless of all the labels that people place on us, I have hope for you this morning that you are not your labels that people have placed on you. You are not those labels that people have placed on you. You don't have to be in bondage to those labels because we have a heavenly dad, a heavenly father that we can always run back to who will remind us of how much he loves us and how much he values us. We have this unshakable identity in Jesus that I believe, regardless of where you're sitting at here today, that if we just be firmly rooted in it, we'll begin to live God's best for us, that life of love and peace and confidence and hope. But in order to do that, we need to go back to the one who gives us such an identity in the first place. Verse 9 in the passage, it says this. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. If you're taking notes with me this morning, I want you to write this first note. This unshakable identity in Jesus that he gives to you and me, if you're a follower of Christ, it comes from heaven, not from this world. This unshakable identity in Jesus comes from heaven and not from this world. If you and I really want to be affirmed in that identity in Christ, then we can't begin to look within our own world. And by the way, this is not about becoming more religious or becoming more moral. It's not about getting a new set of ideas like that's going to set you free from those false labels. Because what Jesus Christ offers to you and me is the real definition of who we are. Verse 9 again says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This light that Jesus was bringing, it was freedom from all of those false labels that people have placed on us. It's freedom from all of those people who call us those names throughout our lives that we just absorbed into and are in bondage in. So it's not becoming more religious that we're talking about here. It's not becoming a more decent church-going person, which is good, but Jesus offers so much more. There's this Christian counselor and author that I love to listen to. Her name is Deborah Felita. And one of the things that she would say is when it comes to Jesus bringing this type of freedom from those labels, the light that Jesus came to bring, she would say this. Jesus came to bring something new. If our lives are filled with those false labels, our God doesn't just come to add a few additional religious labels on the board. He came to bring us a new identity by wiping away every single one of those awful labels that people have placed on us throughout our lives and starting from scratch, beginning all over again. And friends, that's good news. That is hope for us today. Now, have you ever had someone pick on you as a kid? Maybe it was the schoolyard bully, or maybe it was a sibling at home. You know how siblings, if any of you have siblings, I have a sibling, who like to push your buttons right and try to, you know, point out something different about you. Maybe it was the bully who said that your hair looked weird or your clothes looked dirty, or he or she called you four eyes because you wore glasses. I can relate to that, by the way. You see, the Bible says that there's actually a bigger bully at work in our world today. You see, one of the reasons why it's so hard for us believers to be firmly rooted in our identity in Christ is because there is a louder, darker, bigger bully who's trying to drown out all the noise from us being affirmed in that identity. Verse 10 through 11, it reads, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, the Bible has a lot of labels for this bigger, darker bully who's active in our world today. The Bible calls him the deceiver, the accuser, the devil, the Satan. But later in John's gospel, he would say, and he would call this bully, the father of lies. The father of lies. And what lies is he trying to get you and me this morning to believe in? That all of those labels that people have placed on you and that you may even call yourself, they're actually true about you. You see, he's the source of all of those false labels that people have placed within us. He is the source of all of those name calling that we've experienced throughout our lives. Because you know what Satan's agenda is? You know what he doesn't want you to have? He doesn't want you to have God's best for you. He hates to see you thrive. He hates to see you set free. He hates for you to be at God's very best. This is why when Jesus came into the world, by the way, the world didn't accept him. Because the world was pretty happy to be in bondage to those false labels that he's placed on them. As verse 10 says, he was in the world. Jesus, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. You see, this Satan, he's behind all of those advertisements that we see, whether online or on social media, through the news or whatever. He's always trying to get us to believe, hey, if you allow our political group to define you as a person, or if you allow your childhood best friend to define you as a person, or if you allow how good your grades are to define you as a person, then you'll finally find some value. You'll finally find some worth. You'll finally find some meaning within this life. It's just simply not true. It's just simply not true. Take notes with me this morning. Note number two. Satan does his very best to push us away from our unshakable identity in Christ. Satan does his very best to push us away from our unshakable identity in Christ. You see, he doesn't really care if a believer attends church or does all those religious things or to do all those good things. As long as he's allowing you or he's keeping you in bondage to that false label. I mean, he doesn't really care if we're doing all these pious religious things as long as you're still defining yourself with those false labels. But you know what he fears the most for us believers? You know what he fears the most? He fears that we will firmly be rooted in that identity in Christ, because it's only then chains begin to fall. We become set free. We start to live out God's best for us. Satan's trying to bully us into those false labels. And don't give him that. Don't give in to that. Now, with all this talk about an unshakable identity in Christ, the question is, what does God call you and me in Christ? What label does he put on us? Is it a label that's based on our performance? Or is it based on how well we did at school? Whether or not we attended Bible classes? What does God define you and I here this morning? Verse 12 through 13. I think this is the most important verses in this passage. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." You see, Satan's trying to drown out all the voice of God within our lives, because that voice of God, by the way, is not a voice that condemns. It's not a voice that judges. It's not a voice that says, "Well, you're only this or you're only that." You see, if you're in Christ, God's trying to tell you, "Hey, you're my son. You're my daughter. You are special to me. I value you so much. You're the apple of my eye." That's what God calls us in Christ. And maybe for some of us, this is so hard to believe, because maybe for some of us, you didn't grow up in a home like that. For some of us, this is so hard to believe that God would call us these things, because your father said the opposite. Or your mother said the opposite. You grew up in a home probably where all the labels that you were given were just labels of condemnation, judgment, how sucky you are, how you're not getting the best grades, or you're not the most attractive. For some of us, this is so hard to believe that God in Christ actually calls us his beloved children, his son or daughter. And perhaps for some of us here today, maybe you even grew up without a father. Maybe you lacked that father figure in your life. And if that's you this morning, I want to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That must be tough. But in Christ, we have a heavenly father who says all of these things that we might not have gotten from our earthly fathers. God says in Christ, "I'm here to support you. I'm here to take care of you. I'm here to value you. I got you." Now, John says in the passage that we're children of God, not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. All that to say is, this is an identity. What God says about you in Christ is not something that you can work for. Again, this is not about becoming more religious or becoming a better person. This identity in Christ is something that is just given to you by God as a free gift of his grace. It's not something that we work for. It's not something we have to achieve. I know some of us like to achieve some things, but that's totally irrelevant when it comes to being children of God. This is not some trophy you're given. This is a gift. This is a gift. Now, is there so much more to being a child of God in Jesus Christ? Oh yeah, there's a lot more to it than being set free from all of those false labels that people have placed on us. Let me give you three ways on how being God's child in Christ actually should impact our lives for the better. That we can start today living God's best for us. That life of love, peace, and confidence. Take notes with me this morning. The first application is, our unshakable identity in Jesus means that you are loved beyond what you can accomplish. That unshakable identity in Jesus means you are loved beyond more than what you can accomplish. You see, for some of us, we're overachievers. We like to accomplish things. We like to work for things. And maybe that's something that was instilled to us by our dad, because our dad would teach us to achieve things, to work for stuff, you know. You know the saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You know, you have to work for your money. You have to work for your food, right? So for some of us, being a child of God in Christ, that means you don't have to achieve anything for God. You know the struggle that we experience as Christians where we feel like we're not doing enough for God? We're not praying enough or reading our Bibles enough or volunteering enough or doing all those good things. And then we begin to be bullied by Satan and he says, you know what? Maybe God loves you a little less because you're not doing enough for him. Maybe he's trying to tell you, you know, your Father in heaven is not satisfied with you because you forgot to pray this morning. We struggle with this as Christians because some of us like to achieve and we like to think that God is happy with us as long as we're doing something for him. But in Jesus Christ, we are loved beyond what we can accomplish for him. You know, there's this temptation with my students that they'll label themselves according to the grades, or just students in general, not my particular students. Students in general like to label themselves and define themselves by the grades they get at college. They're always looking at their GPA or the SAT scores or the AP scores or any kind of score like that. They think academic success is something that has to define them. And grades are important. Schools is important. I want them to succeed in that area, but to the students, don't let your grades define you. That GPA score, that last test score that you got, that report card that came in that maybe your parents weren't happy about exactly, that doesn't define who you are. Because in Christ, you are more than what you can accomplish. You are more than just your accomplishments. You are more than just your grades. Take notes with me this morning. Our unshakable identity in Christ means I become free from my past sins defining me. I become free from my past sins defining me. You know, something that I struggle with, sometimes I let my anger get the best of me, you know. Sometimes I'll say an unkind word to a person and then I begin to think, dang, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I'll try not to do that again. And then you're driving along the freeway and then someone cuts you off and then, my anger gets the best of me again, right? And then it becomes a cycle where we do something wrong, we regret it, and then we resolve not to do it again, and then we do it again, and then we regret it, and we resolve not to do it again. It could be a never-ending cycle for some of us here this morning. You know, a while back ago in a different church, I knew a high school student who was dealing with this exact situation. You know how there's a sin that always pesters us in our lives, and no matter how much we try to not do it, it just keeps going back to us over and over and over again? The student was struggling with that kind of sin, right? He was a believer in Jesus, and he was just struggling to find his self-worth as a child of God because he was allowing himself to be defined by his past failures and his past mistakes. And he would tell me that I must not be good enough of a Christian because I keep doing this one particular sin. But again, it's that false label that Satan wants us to be trapped in. I met a lot of people like that who let that cycle of their past mistakes, failures, and wrongs, just it lets them define them. It lets them define them. Let me ask you, is that you here this morning? Maybe you're carrying that label that you're just nothing but a sinner and that's all that God sees you and that's all that the world sees you. I can do nothing but wrong. Again, don't let Satan bully you into thinking that that's who you are. Because in Christ, I become free from my past sins defining me. In Christ, I become totally and completely forgiven of all the wrong things that I've done. Past, present, future. Your Heavenly Father won't hold it against you. So why would you hold it against yourself? Take notes with me this morning. One other way that being a child of God, this unshakable identity we have, our unshakable identity means I can be confident that the problems I will encounter will be used for my good. The problems that I will encounter will be used for my good because I'm his son and that you're his daughter in Christ. You see, parents, wouldn't you want your students, your children, to lead a life that wouldn't involve pain and then wouldn't involve sorrow? I know that for my parents, they would give anything that I wouldn't have to experience pain in this world, in this life. But the unfortunate reality is there will be pain. There will be sorrow to experience. There will be setbacks that we will experience. And our Heavenly Father doesn't always take those away from us, by the way. Perhaps for some of us, you're going through a difficult season in your life. For some of us, you've experienced a loss of a good friendship. You know, you were friends with this wonderful person for a while, and then suddenly they just bailed out on you for whatever reason. Or maybe you're going through financial difficulty where you're just wondering where you're going to be in the end of the month, whether you can really make it. Or for some of us, we are going through a season of transition, and the future seems really scary for us. The future seems really scary for us. What does being God's child mean in these types of scenarios? As previously mentioned, God will not always take away our problems in life. And God will not always, he doesn't promise a stress-free life. He doesn't promise an easygoing life. It's not about being on a boat with no storms. There will be storms in our lives. There will be hurt, disappointment, and pain. Welcome to the Christian life. But, in Christ, as his son and daughter, he's going to work all of those details out for your good at the end of the day. So there is a light to be experienced at the end of the tunnel. God will use all of those bad circumstances we experience so that you and I can become more and more the person that he's created us to be. I tell my students this all the time with this example. The smooth seas create skilled sailors. Answer? What makes for a skilled sailor in life? Storms. Rough seas. Sometimes God will often utilize those trials that we have in our lives so that we can become more mature. So that we can draw closer to him, so that we can be established in our identity in Jesus. All that's to say, it's not like those problems are good, or they feel good, or they look good. Because those problems, those financial difficulties, that loss of a friend, or any other problem, those don't feel good. And those aren't good. But God promises us that he will use them for good at the end of the road. Sometimes we'll look back when we're in heaven and see, Father, I saw what you were doing back there. I saw how this worked out at the end of the road. And I didn't see it at the time, but now I see it. Now I see it. These are your, if I can call them this, these are your birthright, your birthrights as children of God. God loves you beyond what you can accomplish. Your past sins don't have to define you. And that he's going to use everything within our lives, even those trials, to bring out a good and use for good because we are his children. For some of you, you may be checking out this church for the first time. And if you're here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. And you might be hearing all this and you might be thinking, can all of those birthrights belong to me too? Can I have a father who says to me that I love you and that you're the apple of my eye? Can I really be set free from all of those false labels that people have placed on me throughout my life? can that be true of me? Sitting here in 2023, can that really be true of me? When Jesus came, he invited everyone to be set free from all of those false labels. He invited everyone to become God's son or God's daughter through faith in him. So if you're sitting here this morning, and maybe this whole Jesus thing is new to you, and you're just wondering if this can be extended to you too, I say, there is hope to become someone new and different. There is hope for you to be set free here this morning. There is hope for a God in heaven to look at you and say, you are my son and you're my daughter and I will be your father and I will take care of you. How do you get that hope? How do you find that unshakable identity in Jesus Christ? Well, you first have to admit that those labels that people have placed on you, they are controlling your life. They are dominating your life, whether you realize it or not. And again, I don't know what labels those were, but they are dominating your life. And it's just going to produce a life filled with fear, doubt, and anxiety if you keep on going on that road. The second thing is we have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. You know, John, he's so helpful in this passage. He says in verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, again, it's not about working for this identity. It's not about achieving this identity. It's about believing in the name of Jesus Christ, the Creator God who came 2,000 years ago to die on a Roman execution device. You know it as the cross. He rose again from the dead. He lives today so that he can set you free from all of those false labels and give you that new identity as his child. Believe in his name and put your trust in him and confess that he is the true light that brings freedom from all those labels, that brings all of these benefits as a child of God. So dear friend, my hope for you this morning is that you wouldn't be enslaved anymore to what people have said about you. You wouldn't be enslaved anymore to what you say about you, but that you'll find your identity as a child of God. And the next time when some boss or some classmate tells you that you're performing low and not keeping up with sales, yes, it still will hurt. But now you can say, I have a father in heaven I can run back to and who will say to me, I'm your dad and you are my son and I will love you forever. Let's pray. Church, this sounds so simple, but it's actually so hard to apply. Those voices that tell us, that try to tell us who we are, they can be so powerful and damaging. But church, if you want to reaffirm who you are in Jesus, pray with me and say, Jesus, help me to be firmly rooted in that unshakable identity as your child, your son, and your daughter. Help me to believe truly that I am loved beyond what I can accomplish. That my past sins, they don't have any hold over me, Lord. And that Jesus, you will work everything out for good. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're just hearing this for the first time. And you want that. You want that unshakable ground. You don't want to be controlled by what people have said about you. So I invite you to pray this prayer. In your mind, just say, Jesus, I admit that I'm letting those labels control me. I admit that I've just been doing what I wanted in life without thinking about you. Jesus, I believe in your name because you went to the cross for me and you rose again from the dead. And Lord, I confess your name here this morning, believing that this unshakable identity now is mine to hold. Father God, we just thank you for this ground of confidence that we have. We're just so grateful to you, Lord, that you came, or you sent your son, Jesus, to bring light into this world, freedom from all of those enslaving identities, to give us the true one in you. And Jesus, help us to truly believe in this upcoming week that we are your sons and daughters through faith. Help us to be free from what people have said about us. Help us to apply these things into our lives, Lord, especially for those of us who are going through tough circumstances in life. And Jesus, we thank you that you've always been faithful. You've always been good. You've always been loving towards us. And that in you, we have a Father in heaven. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you for our brother Jacob. Lord, there it is, Lord. He's sweating a little bit, but he did good. Father, we thank you for this young man. Lord, we thank you for the man that you made Jacob to be. Lord, thank you for the man that you continue to make him to be. Lord, we as a church pray, God, your just perfect will be done in his life. We thank you, God, for his spiritual journey that brings him here to preach your word before your people. God, we commit this time and his message into your hands. In Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love the Lord would say,
amen.
Amen. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it. You're good. So what does that have to do with relationships? Everything. Here's the deal. Belief affects behavior. Who are you? Who are you? When you look in the mirror, who are you? And who makes you to be you? People, did you do anything to bring yourself into this world? Answer. Then who are you to determine the purpose and meaning and existence of your life? The one who does is God. Amen? In order to be healthy, you got to come to health with yourself. How do you have healthy relationships with other people if you haven't found peace with yourself? We have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Identity. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. That means a lot to me. Jacob and I were talking about this. So we've been working with Jacob for 3 weeks. Jacob brought his sermon 3 weeks ago, sermon prep, on a Thursday. We looked at it and said, good. Make it better. Brought it back the next week. Good. Make it better. Bring it back next week. Good. Bring it. Preach it. The topic, Jacob, what do you want to teach on? Pastor Frank, I want to teach on identity because it's so important to me and it molds me as a man of God to know who I am. It's everything. And I said, amen. Hey, people, this is a great lesson this week as you get into small groups and into growth groups. There's a whole chapter of the Bible dedicated to who you are in the eyes of God. It's Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be swimming in that a lot as all texts. It's cognitive, yes, but you stir it in. God, I pray for this. Father, help us to stir this in that we know who we are as children of God. Pastor Frank, I'm cognitive in my understanding of who God is. My own spiritual journey, I open the pages, I ask lots of questions, I try to understand, is God real, does he prove himself, so forth. People, our God is real. What God says to you is true. We don't believe in him. We don't create God in our own image, but we've been made in God's image. Here is my journey. Our God is not just a cognitive God. Our God is an experiential God. Our faith is not just an intellectual faith. Our faith is a supernatural faith. The truths that Jacob brought today, as Jesus said in famous John chapter 1, the theology of that text is awesome, but the application is amazing because it all applies into, do you know who you are as you accept Christ? You're a child of God. How should that transform how you exist? So what we are going to do right now, as this is what we do every week, and we do this intentionally. I want the Holy Spirit to stir into your life these truths. So what we're going to have here, we read in the Bible that if you need prayer to seek out the leaders of the church, the leaders of the church are coming up as I'm speaking. So, by the way, Pastor Vince, pray for him. He has eye surgery this week. He's not going to be up there, but Casey and Beth are going to be up there for you in the balcony. If you need prayer, the Bible says to seek out the leaders of the church. Up in the balcony, that's where they are. Down here, we've got Sandra, we've got my wife, Cinda, we've got our missions chairman, his amazing godly wife, Mega, is going to be praying with us. Who else? Who's here on my leadership team? Where are you? One, two, three. Come here, babe. She's amazing. That's good. My brother Jacob's going to be here praying with people, okay? Pastor Graham is always the rock. Our prayer is that you would stir this into your life, that you would live your life based in truth of who you are in the eyes of God. Belief affects behavior. If you realize and believe that you are who God says you are, then you'll live your life accordingly as a child of God, right? This is something to know. But how does this get stirred in? We're just going to pray that it gets stirred in today by the Spirit of God. And if you're here today and you need prayer, maybe you're here today going, I get this, but I don't feel this, or I don't live by this, then let us pray for you. Let's pray for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you and drive these truths deep into your existence. Because this is everything. Your success in having relationships with God is so related to your own freedom and your own healing that God brings into your life, because wounded people wound others. Yes? Father, we just commit to you this time of prayer. We pray, Lord God, if there's anyone out there who heard this message today, and Lord, they just need to stir this message into their lives. Maybe, God, they just need to come and ask for prayer today, to pray for an anointing of the Spirit today, to pray for the power of God to come upon their life today. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters in here who know these truths but struggle to live these truths and to believe these truths. We realize and we know, Jesus, the truth will set us free. We believe the truth, we live the truth, we will be set free. You came to set us free. Help us, Lord, to know who we are today in your sight. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened, as Paul says, to understand and to stir in who we really are in Christ. So God, we commit this time to you. We thank you for our brother Jacob. We pray that these young people, this next generation, would understand who they are in Christ. But Lord, may we all in this room as children of God understand who we are in Christ. Amen? Amen. Broken vessels. Great song. We're going to sing in these truths. Let's have some good time. Holy Spirit, come. Spirit of the living God, come. Speak into our hearts now, Lord. Come. Spirit of God, fall upon us. Fall upon the prodigal this morning. Fall upon those that are seeking. Fall upon the ones that are lost, the broken, the disheartened. God, fall upon those that are just struggling for hope and peace. Spirit of the living God, come and fall upon our lives. Repair us, these broken pieces of who we are, right? Spirit of God, we're not coming here to have a lecture. We're coming to meet with God. you inhabit the praises of your people. Spirit of the Lord, fall upon this place. We pray in Jesus' name for Jesus' kingdom. Amen. Let's worship the Lord in song.